Hello, and welcome to another podcast in our Resilience and Reinvention series. I'm Lynn Worsley, the director of the Resilience Centre. Every one of us knows what rejection feels like. It could be personal, it could be professional, it could be a major, even life-changing rejection, or a niggling setback that still impacts upon us. We've experienced all kinds of different forms of rejection and much change through the pandemic and after effects of which we continue to experience. So, how do we best deal with it and maintain our resilience or even reinvent our response to being rejected? Michelle Watton is a warm and engaging clinical psychologist at the Resilience Centre. She's speaking with Lee Hatcher.
Michelle, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
I want to begin rather personally, if you're up for it, sharing a particular story of rejection that you've experienced in your own life.
Well, I guess we all experience rejection, and the one that stood out to me that I benefited a lot from was I was quite young. I think I was about 23, and I was working in sales. I'd become the top seller there, and there was really no more that I could learn. And so I started applying for managerial positions, but kept getting knocked back. And at that point in life, when you're young, you're still just trying to understand yourself and whether you can achieve certain things. And at that point, I could have believed that I didn't have the capacity for more. But I kept going. That's what I'd been taught.
Well,
and in the end, thank you. And in the end, I realized that my values and my skill set weren't suited for a job in management. And I worked out soon after that that I wanted to help reduce the suffering in people, particularly through the field of psychology. And so if I didn't have that rejection, it wouldn't have guided me.
No. Which does sound very neat and wise. But at the time of rejection, without knowing how a particular rejection will turn out, it can be really tough dealing with that, and maybe for quite some time.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's bad enough to experience the rejection and start to wonder about your own capacity, but then to have the anxiety on top of it of not knowing when things are actually going to change, I think that's really hard. But it doesn't have to be complicated. I think we just need to trust ourselves, know that with time our situation will change, and deal with the distress that it brings with it.
Maybe see each moment as part of a bigger picture, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
We probably need to be realistic and say that rejection is inevitably going to be part of the human condition, no matter who or where we are. Mm. How would you define it?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. I suppose a definition, you could say, rejection is the act of being dismissed or excluded or turned away from something or someone. We have different levels of severity. So from someone who's just turned their head from you all the way up to like blatant discrimination and law-breaking behaviour. So it comes in various forms, various severity, and it occurs in variety of contexts, such as just rejection of our ideas or being rejected from a romantic relationship, which is the worst thing ever.
Heartbreaking, Michelle.
It is. Look at the number of Adele songs that have been made. But rejection of our gender, religion, etc. But I think the overriding thing is that rejection hurts. It really does. And it's something that we can't avoid.
Okay. How would you say this issue of rejection particularly played out in the lives of some people during these last few pandemic years, Michelle?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. I guess it brings me back to our last podcast, which was, you know, communicating with adolescents. In that time, we noticed that our teenagers were struggling emotionally.
Yes.
They really missed out on seeking and receiving the validation of their friends, doing the things that they enjoy and the things that gave them purpose. However, even though that was difficult and we saw an increase in mental health presentations to the emergency department, etc., they sought the help from professionals, from friends and family members, but they also found different ways to cope. And during that challenging time, they developed new skills and new knowledge that they wouldn't have experienced without COVID-19, and they apply that new knowledge now.
So best not to do it alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So each of us, no matter the nature of a particular rejection, has choices about how we'll respond. What are some of those options, Michelle, and how best do we put on this armour in a way of resilience in the face of rejection?
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it, the armour of resilience. I think our armour gets stronger with age, with our experiences, gets upgrades. I think it's easier to wear. But when we're younger, the ability to be more resilient, to bounce back, is difficult. And I think that we might look around us and notice that other people are moving on faster than we do, and that we shouldn't compare. We need to keep trying to get through what it is that we're finding difficult and through the rejection. And then once we've accepted what is actually happening, the rejection is actually happening, then we can actually move on to problem solving a way through it and not getting stuck.
Part of that's having a particular mindset about how we cope, how we respond.
Yeah, I think that's really wise. Rejection can hit us really hard at that moment, and we can do two things. We can solely take the blame, which can lead to us wondering what's wrong with us. And I think I did that when I was missing out on those jobs when I was younger. Or we flip it and it's everybody else's problem.
Okay, yeah,
it wasn't me.
Yep.
I think we need to be brave and to see what the rejection was actually about so that we can experience an opportunity for growth.
So you can, in a way, have the ability to own it as well as blaming everybody else.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough.
It is. Yeah, it is. I think we eventually get to that point after we've, you know, had a bit of a tantrum and lived in a fantasy world that what is actually going on isn't true. But it is. If we go back and look at previous experiences that we've had with rejection, we can actually see that we have faced it and successfully overcome it. So the more setbacks we've had, in fact, the more resilient we can become.
Does that always happen?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we eventually learn. Some successes at overcoming rejection, we grow a lot from.
Yeah.
And others, not so much.
Hmm. What's your wisdom about coping skills, if there's such a thing?
That's another really good point, because what I haven't mentioned yet is that resilience isn't something that we're either born with or not. That no matter where we are in our journey of being able to be resilient, that it's actually about developing skills on how to overcome. Over the years, you would have had a lot of opportunities to overcome difficulties and rejection, and we would have learned from that. So again, the more opportunity you've had to overcome rejection, the better you're going to be at it. The other thing is that we would have watched how others dealt with similar situations, and it could have or might not have been modeled to us. The past has given us an opportunity to have a baseline for overcoming rejection, but it does not stop there. It's about learning the skills on how to get through it a lot easier. Another way of looking at it is that there are also a few tricks.
Okay.
And these are basic as well. It's just about learning each one. The first one I think that's big is learning to regulate our emotions. Because when we're in a distressing rejection, we feel like it's the worst thing ever. We feel like we haven't gone through anything more difficult than this, and it hurts. So if we can learn to regulate ourselves and keep going on with the things in life that make us feel good, like work and seeing friends and doing activities, then we're going to get through it a lot easier and be more proud of ourselves, I think. From there, you problem solve. You problem solve ways to manage the rejection, what you're going to do to get out of it. And we don't have to do it on our own. Like you said before, it's about connection. And we phone a friend.
Yeah. What's the extent that our own nature or personality and personal experience will shape our response to a rejection? And is it possible to respond beyond our own personal instincts?
That's one aspect of managing rejection that we haven't spoken about. So I want to know what you think.
Thanks, Michelle. I actually think if I look at it from my kind of nature and personality,
yeah,
and my experience, actually, and I think the kind of DNA that was developed in my childhood, I think it's very much influenced by all of that, actually. I'd probably attribute more to, without going into it, childhood issues, but issues of rejection, for instance, within my family, and forgiveness and the ability to move on, I think probably experience more than personality.
I think what you said is on point, because it's what you brought up. There has to be some truth in that. And I think you're right. There's only one part I would add to that, and that some of us are better at coping with negative emotion than others.
Yeah, which goes to personality.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's called neuroticism. And some of us are more neurotic than others.
Do I pay you for a score based on my response?
The fact that you can talk about childhood issues suggests that your neuroticism level must be fairly low, I think.
Oh, phew. Should I ask you?
We all know somebody, and it could be ourselves, that finds it difficult to face rejection and face their difficulties, and that makes it harder for them, particularly people who, like myself, who are sensitive, who have the blessing of being sensitive, because we see the world in brighter colours and it feels better. But it also means that rejection and response to negative emotion can be more of a challenge, but it gives us the opportunity to get up and keep trying. And I think that's what's important.
I'm interested that you say it's a blessing to be sensitive, because I'm sensitive. And I've frequently been involved in situations and conversations where I'm made to feel shouldn't be so sensitive.
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's very frustrating.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, it is. It's like, don't be so sensitive, or just get over it. No, actually.
Wow. But deal with it.
Deal with it.
And not alone.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Let me turn the tables for a moment from being the rejected to being the rejector. How and why might we avoid being that person, Michelle?
As a sensitive person, what's it like to accidentally reject someone?
I probably am not nearly as affected as it would be happening to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, exactly. I think we might want to avoid being that person who rejects, because we've just spoken about how life throws plenty of opportunities at us to experience rejection, and it's very painful to go through. I don't believe that we should actually add to that by rejecting others and being nasty. I think we should choose to help people and to show kindness, to make that person feel good about themselves, to help that person know that they're wanted and valued. I think that's very important.
Does it go to do to others as you would have them do to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yep. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So during Anzac Day this year, I met an Australian digger. His name was Nathan Varela, and he actually told a really amazing story about acceptance rather than rejection. He was given the opportunity to help the civilians in Banda Aceh in Indonesia, 2004. You might have remembered when there was that tsunami.
Yeah.
So he was deployed there. His role was to load the RAF planes with survival resources such as food and water, and to drop them to remote communities who'd been cut off by the flooded waters. He said that he'll never forget the look on the faces of the local people as he flew over and dropped the supplies to them from the air. And I'm positive that there's no words to even describe how he, and particularly those locals, felt to know that they were going to survive, and then later on to reflect that they are loved as individuals, that they have worth and value, that even somebody or a team of people from another country don't know them. And I knew this would happen, that they're loved.
Yeah.
And they won't forget that.
No.
And they'll remember that. And what a gift to give to them, right?
Yeah.
He could have rejected them. He didn't. It's interesting because he spoke about how later on the local people, they came to the army hospital because that just ended up being the becoming the central area for the Australian humanitarian aid. And they gave little gifts to him and to say thank you. It was a symbolism of showing their worth and that they're a valuable human being.
Yeah.
And that we're all the same, aren't we? We're all the same. And he had a choice, you know. He had a choice and he chose to act in love and show inclusion. And even if we experience rejection, we are worthy and can choose a way forward.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure if that's really true, look to those who actually love and rely on you.
Mm-hmm.
People do, and you might not even realize it, but if you sat down and make a list, you'd be surprised how long it actually is. You're definitely one of a kind, we all are,
yes.
And the skills you have can't be replicated. You yourself and what you can achieve and what you can give cannot be replicated. We do need to just pick ourselves up from the rejection that we've had and move forward. People are relying on us. And I think if we look at the blessings that we have in front of us and to see that we have the option to make a choice, although it's hard and it's painful and you might not want to do it.
Yes.
We need to pick ourselves up from rejection and move forward eventually. Yes, you can admit that it's hard. Yes, you're angry. Yes, you're disappointed. But we need to move forward. Look at the blessings that you have right in front of you. You have a choice. Notice what you are grateful for, who to help and who not to reject. We don't have to overcome rejection on our own, as you've said a number of times. We can ask for help, and just as we would quickly run to another person's aid.
This conversation has been utter gold. It's been so helpful, I think, for me even, and I'm sure everyone who's listening to this. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. See you next time.
Look forward to it.
You've been listening to a podcast in our Resilience and Reinvention series from the Resilience Centre. I'm Lynn Worsley. You find the library of all of our other podcast conversations and so many great resources at theresiliencecentre.com.au.